From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farming Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, November 22nd. Maps can tell you a lot of things, like where you are and where you're heading. But they can also tell you about the history of your community. On today's show, we visit Lisa Lyons, owner of Morgan Outdoors in Hurleyville, who shares a crash course on how to read a topographic map and how to activate your senses while reading them.
It's visceral for me. I can feel how hard it's going to be going up that slope when I'm looking at it.
Plus, an effort to protect 136 acres of the Peterskill Community Forest along the Schwagunk Ridge is underway. We chat with Zali Nguyen, Executive Director of the Rondout Esopus Land Conservancy in Accord. All of that in Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report, but first, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is stepping down in January, a move that's raising new questions about the direction of the Republican Party's hard right wing. Her departure follows months of friction with President Trump and controversy over the release of the Epstein files. Alex Helmick from member station WABE in Atlanta reports.
The Republican congresswoman has recently become a critic of the president on a number of issues, from his initial stance on the release of the Epstein files to foreign affairs. That led Trump to call her a traitor, saying he would support a primary challenger against her in her conservative Northwest Georgia district. Here's Greene in a more than 10-minute video posted online.
And I do not want my sweet district to have to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against me by the president that we all fought for, only to fight and win my election while Republicans will likely lose the midterms.
Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp will have to set a special election date within 10 days of Greene's resignation to replace her. For NPR News, I'm Alex Helmick in Atlanta.
The G20 summit opened today in Johannesburg, where all the country's members voted to adopt a joint declaration after the conference wraps up on Sunday. Even though the United States is boycotting the event after falsely accusing South Africa of persecuting its white minority. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa praised the move as an early success.
The adoption of the declaration from the summit sends an important signal to the world that multilateralism can and does deliver.
The leaders of Britain, France, and other countries thank South Africa for its work as chair. The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing Texas to use its recently redrawn map of congressional districts for now. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports it's the latest move in the gerrymandering fight led by President Trump to try to keep Republicans in control of the House.
A final decision from the Supreme Court may come as soon as Monday. If the court allows Texas to use a contested map for the midterm election, Republicans may be able to pick up 5 more seats in the U.S. House. A lower court had blocked that map after finding its challengers are likely to prove in a trial that the map is an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. That's because multiple Republican officials made public statements suggesting they passed it to eliminate existing districts where Black and Latino voters together make up the majority. But Texas tells the Supreme Court the lawmakers were not motivated by race and were focused on drawing new districts that are more likely to elect Republicans. Time is running out to finalize Texas's map for the midterms. The state's candidate filing deadline is about 2 weeks away. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News.
This is NPR News in Washington.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izar. Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and while November SNAP benefits have resumed for some with the end of the government shutdown, many residents are still grappling with rising food insecurity. Several nonprofits, farms, and community groups are stepping up to make sure nutritious meals are on the table. Here are a few free food distributions in our listening area leading up to and on Thanksgiving. On Saturday, November 22nd, the Regional Food Bank will have the largest single-day meal distribution in the Hudson Valley. The distribution will start at 10 a.m. at the Sullivan County Government Center in Monticello, at the Regional Food Bank Distribution Center in Montgomery, and at Mount St. Mary College and the Salvation Army in Newburgh. On Monday, November 24th, Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm will host a free fresh vegetable food pantry. The distribution will be from 3 to 6 p.m. at 38 Hickory Lane in Damascus, Pennsylvania. No registration is required. And on Thursday, November 27th, Tustin Social and Blue Fox Motel will host a free Thanksgiving lunch at the Blue Fox Motel in Narrowsburg. It'll be from 12 to 3 p.m. St. Joseph's Church will also have a free Thanksgiving meal in Wurzburgo from 2 to 7 p.m. You can head on over to WJFF Radio for more food pantry opportunities in Sullivan, Orange, Ulster, and Delaware counties in New York, and Wayne and Pike counties in Pennsylvania. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Sony Pictures Classics with Nuremberg, a new thriller starring Russell Crowe, Rami Malek, and Michael Shannon about the historic post-World War II trial of Nazi official Hermann Göring, now playing in theaters.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Well, inside the Morgan Outdoor Shop in Hurleyville, New York, is everything you can possibly imagine you might need to hit the winter trails. They have backpacks, they have ice cleats, and they also have lots and lots of printed topographic maps. These detailed maps can tell you a lot about your neighborhood or community, but few people, including myself, admittedly, know how to read them like a pro. I sat down with Lisa Lyons, owner of Morgan Outdoors, to learn how exactly to understand and read topographic maps wherever you may be. We should note that Morgan Outdoors is a financial supporter of Radio Catskill. Here's my conversation with Lisa.
All right. Well, my name is Lisa Lyons. I am the owner of Morgan Outdoors, which I started back in 2005 in Livingston Manor, where I live. And I moved it to Hurleyville, close to the rail trail, the O&W rail trail, 3 years ago. So I'm right on Main Street. A friend of mine teases me, it's 234 Main Street, Hurleyville, New York.
That's so cute. Well, okay, so we're sitting at a table right now with a few things in front of us. Mm-hmm. Do you want to just share a little bit about what exactly we're looking at?
Well, Kim, you are here to learn about reading a topographic map. You are going to take two dimensions and turn it into three. We'll call it the third dimension lesson.
I love that.
And so we're looking at the one I picked out of the drawer that shows, it's called the Liberty West Quad, that the U.S. Geological Survey makes these beautiful maps. And this one is the Liberty West section. Mm-hmm. And I picked it because it shows Route 52 and the location where WJFF is.
Yes. For our listeners, we kind of have this like big, large-scale map printed out. Lisa, why don't you walk me through what this is? Because at first glance, there's lots of lines here. Mm-hmm. What exactly are these lines?
They are called contour lines because they show the contour of the land from the white spaces, very few of them actually, but the white spaces which are showing flatter areas. We do not live in a big flat plain area, but many farmers can tell you that they found flat parts to farm on, and many people have found a flat part to put an airport on or various other things like that. You'll notice that they are placed in the few white spaces on the map. But the contour lines are going to help you, Kim, turn this two-dimensional map into a map that shows you the contour of the land by learning just a little bit about it.
There are all these little lines, right? The contour lines, as you described. But there are also other colored lines here. Can you describe what the different colored lines are? And then also the differences between the greens, the whites, the blues?
Mm-hmm. We'll start with the colored lines. Okay. So here, I'm going to point your attention down here to something at the very bottom of the map. It says contour interval 20 feet. Okay, what does that mean? So we are looking at, let's pick this area because it's not too far from where the station is. And there is a dark contour line with a number on it. That happens to be the elevation. All of the land along that line is the same exact elevation.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it's showing you that elevation. After it are four skinnier lines, and then a fifth is another dark line. The story here is that each of the skinny lines represents 20 feet of elevation change. So to help you focus a little, I'm going to bring in my little piece of paper off to the left, which shows a contour line section of a map as seen from above, like what we're seeing as we stare at the two-dimensional map. It's as though we're a bird looking down. And then on this paper, it turns it to the side so you can see the three-dimensional view of that same portion of the map. So you'll begin to have your mind do the conversion, because it's really all happening in our little brain.
Yeah, I think for folks who are wondering what we're looking at, there's this one visual that kind of looks like spooky eyes, right? But they're flat, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second one that we're looking at is kind of the, as you described, the three-dimensional view. And that is a raised terrain that we're seeing.
Yes, of the same lines that are in the spooky eyes. So this is where it's hard. We should say to the listener, this is where it's hard to make this conversion by listening. But we're going to try. So yeah, so we just talked about the two different colored lines. The fat ones are a dark color with the number showing the elevation of everything along that line. And the skinny ones above and below it are the ones that are 20 feet higher. Each line is representing 20 feet higher. So I probably from that point should just explain one more thing while we're on the subject. When those skinny lines are very close together, like right over here, kind of the southwest corner of Swan Lake, that would mean every line equals 20 feet higher or lower. That is a steep slope. Because they're really close. Can you feel it now that you're staring at the two-dimensional map and you see the lines close together? Yeah, that's the cool part about reading them, because it's visceral for me. I can feel how hard it's going to be going up that slope when I'm looking at it. And if I touch it with my finger, it even amplifies more.
You know, having you describe the steepness, I'm kind of feeling it in my body, how much harder it's going to be moving through this versus moving to an area where the lines are a little bit more sparsed out.
Oh, yes. Yes. So that's the part about contour lines. You're learning that at the bottom of each map, it will tell you the contour interval on this map and all the quads of this type that USGS makes. It will have 20-foot interval. And so going from that to your question about the color of spaces, any other colors on the map relate to the type of vegetation. We're going from these white areas where there isn't much vegetation. It's likely been forested. It may have, this has a whole lot of contour lines in it, so it just looks to me like a slope that does not have much vegetation growing on it.
Well, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. I can imagine this being so helpful, obviously, for someone who's hiking, walking, camping in the area. But I can also imagine that there's probably many other uses. What comes to mind for you in terms of different ways people might be able to use this?
Well, for the general public, I would say it's, I was wondering this morning in the serious wind gusts that were whipping around my house, I wonder where the white-tailed deer are with the one-year-olds that I see sometimes driving home. I see them by my house. I wonder where they are. And I'm picturing the topographic map, you know, what I know about the landform around me from not just walking it, but knowing other people's property too, by knowing where they might be. I know people who are foresters and work outside. They might, you know, be lumberjacks. They might be people working on the land. And that is a hugely important tool. It's an everyday, with me every minute tool. Mm-hmm. So you know where you're going. And another thing that I hear a lot is people that are buying land or looking for a home that's outside of a town center. Certainly I sell many of them to new homeowners because they're happy to have the section for where they're now going to be and seeing the world around them. It's like being a bird, really, you know?
I imagine that there's also something really empowering about knowing what's in your backyard and mm-hmm. your community.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One other question I have just before we wrap up is, I know we talked about the scale section of the map. There's also other parts of the map that I think are helpful for people to read. Is there anything else that you want to lift up?
Yeah, there is. So this particular printing, USGS has a whole printing section that works with universities largely to print the maps. I got these topographic symbol handouts because it shows so many of the markings that are on here that are not printed on the map that we get. In Western states, here, grab that for me, Kim, and we'll just open it up. So you can see things like, what did I see right here? Look at here at the northeast corner of Swan Lake. There's a wetland. There's a river coming into that wetland. You can know that by being able to see some of the keys. So I always, every time I place an order, I ask for lots more of these so people can take them home.
Lisa, before we sign off, I'm curious, you mentioned that we're moving into the colder, windier months. Is there anything else you want to share with folks about what Morgan Outdoors will be up to this winter?
I can say that winter is my favorite season. I usually don't make friends saying that, but oh, I might have made a friend in you. Okay, great. And so people can find a way to enjoy being outdoors. And guess what? It is the time when you can see the bones of the land the best. You can see such beautiful parts of the county, and there's so much public land and public access. So I would tell people to please embrace winter just a tiny bit more. I'm happy to be your cheerleader if you need one, and get some of that fresh air and sunshine in winter. It's so good for us.
Thanks so much to Lisa for such a fun crash course on maps. If you want to know more, Morgan Outdoors is hosting a Topo Talk on Topo Maps at their Hurleyville store on Saturday, November 29th from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. You can find more information on their socials or on their website at morgan-outdoors.com. Up next, you know what time it is, this week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
Farm and Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Humans have been tracking the moon across the sky for thousands of years. The earliest known lunar calendars are from 5,000 years ago in Mesopotamia. There is archaeological evidence that humans were tracking lunar phases as early as 30,000 years ago. In actuality, the moon is slowly receding from Earth. On a timescale of years, the distance is negligible, about 1.5 inches per year, or the rate at which fingernails grow. During the Apollo missions, astronauts placed highly reflective mirrors on the surface of the moon. For more than 50 years, scientists have been firing lasers at these mirrors from Earth and measuring how long it takes the beams to make the round-trip journey. They have found that the time is very minutely increasing, indicating that the distance between Earth and the moon is increasing. It is well known that the moon's gravitational effects on Earth results in ocean tides. What is less known is that the friction caused by the tides slows down Earth's rotation. Earth and the moon are part of the same interacting spinning system, and in spinning systems, angular momentum must be conserved. There are two factors that influence angular momentum: how fast an object is spinning and how far an object is from the center of the system.
Because Earth's rotation is slowing down, something else must happen to the Earth-Moon system to make up for the loss of angular momentum. The Moon is drifting farther away from the center of the system, which increases angular momentum, offsetting what is lost by Earth's slowing rotation. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future StarTalk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and StarTalk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks so much to Keith for this week's report from the stars. So along the western side of the Schwagunk Ridge, a new land protection effort is underway to protect 136 acres of the Peterskill Community Forest in Ulster County. This stretch of land is vital to connecting wildlife corridors and safeguarding clean water along the Peterskill and Rondout Creeks. The effort is led by the nonprofit Rondout Esopus Land Conservancy in Ulster County and is working with other partners, including the Open Space Institute. On the phone with me now is Zali Nguyen of the Rondout Esopus Land Conservancy in Acord, New York. Zali, thanks so much for joining us today and welcome to Farming Country.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Of course. Zali, you're the executive director of the Conservancy in upstate New York. Tell me a little bit about the Conservancy and the work that you do.
So we are a land trust that operates primarily, that operates in Ulster County, primarily on the western slope of the Shongums and generally south of Route 28. We're one of several land trusts in the area that were founded around the same time in 1987. And to date, we have accepted donations of about 64 conservation easements covering about just under 4,900 acres. And a conservation easement is basically a separation of certain development rights from property. It's done voluntarily, and what we do when we get those development rights is retire them permanently so that no development can occur on those properties. And the properties that we have, the conservation easements that we have, are a wide variety of things. A lot of it is farmland, which we work to help the owners ensure that that land is in productive agricultural use in perpetuity. We have a lot of forests and waterfront along the Esopus and the Rondout Creeks. And we have some very special geological features, waterfalls and gorges and things like that, that are really special and worthy of conservation and protection.
Well, I know there is a new opportunity to protect even more acres of forested land. Tell me a little bit about the Peterskill Community Forest and the opportunity that is available right now.
So we're in Acord, New York, and there's a family that has owned this particular farm, combination farm and forest, for more than 100 years. And the current generation wants to ensure that that land stays as it is forever. And they approached us and a couple of other land trusts with whom we are working in partnership to sell conservation easements on two separate parcels that are adjacent. And the total acreage is 136 acres. And right now we're working on phase one, which is about 53 acres. That is on the western slope of the Shongums and adjacent to a very beloved local swimming hole, although that's on a different property, not on ours. Mm. And what we're doing right now is trying to raise the funds to buy that conservation easement. The family, the Turner family, has generously discounted the purchase price quite significantly, and we're purchasing this land in fee, so we will own it, which is 53.2 acres, and we're actively trying to fundraise for that right now. But basically, the concept is the two phases of the project. One part is on the slope of the Shangguns, and the part across the street goes down to the old D&H canal bed and to the Rondout Creek. And if you go to our website, you'll see how close this is and that there are a few pathways that we might be able to connect Minnewaska State Park to the Rondout. And this would be the first place that those two local treasures would be connected. So What it does is provide a wildlife corridor, an uninterrupted span of open space between the Rondout Creek and the very large Minnewaska and Mohonk preserve areas, preserving a habitat for wildlife and plant life in perpetuity.
And for those who are in the area, they know how important the Shawgunk Ridge and this region is. I mean, it really connects where you are in Ulster County, but also Sullivan County and Orange County. And then now there's this opportunity to connect potentially, like you said, the Minnewaska State Park to other parts of protected habitat.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
we're very excited about this. We're working in partnership with two other land trusts. The first one is the Open Space Institute, which has done a tremendous job in the region and all over the East Coast in preserving land. I think that they have, over time, protected more than 45,000 acres, if I'm not mistaken. Our other partner in the purchase is the Friends of the Shawgunks and the Shawgunk Conservancy, which has done an incredible job of acquiring land and preserving it along the Shawgunk Ridge on both sides, both on the eastern slope and on the western slope. So we're very pleased to be working with them together. This is the first time that the three of us have collaborated together on a land preservation project, and it's been a terrific partnership, and we're pleased to have them as partners and to be able to work with them.
I'm sure you know, especially since the Conservancy has already protected so much land, but these efforts, it really does take a village. So it's great to hear the different partners that are involved. I know that there are a few guided tours coming up for folks to see the land that they could be the next supporter of. Do you want to just share those dates and how folks can stay updated on the project as it evolves?
Sure. We're leading two tours of the two guided hikes of the property. The first one is this Sunday, November 23rd. And the second one is Sunday, December 7th. Both of those will start off at 11:30 in the morning. And we ask that you let us know ahead of time so that we can make sure that there's sufficient parking, et cetera. And you can let us know by contacting us by email at info@relandconservancy.org. And what we hope to do is really share this very special piece of land with people who would not have had access to it before, because it's basically been in private hands in the same family for the last 100 years.
Thanks so much to Zali for chatting. You can check out more information on those guided tours that he mentioned and the preservation effort itself on their website at relandconservancy.org. Next Saturday, November 29th, it's a big one for us here at the station. It is our big annual music sale at Radio Catskill. We are going to have vintage vinyl, CDs, stereo gear, instruments, I mean, you name it, and more. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Liberty Mall. I'm going to be there. Me and my colleagues are going to be there, hoping to see you there as well. You can find more information on both of these events and other events happening in your neighborhood on our website at wjffradio.org. That's all for this week's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Catskill Character. You're listening to Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, NPR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. morgan-outdoors.com. The need is growing. More families in our community are struggling to put food on the table. Local food pantries are on the front lines, but they need help. You can make a difference by donating non-perishable food, personal care items, and baby supplies, or by volunteering to support and distribute these donations. It's about nourishing our neighbors. Visit WJFFradio.org for info to help ensure everyone in our community has enough to eat. Radio Catskill, keeping our neighbors connected.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we talk the absolute best way to make turkey and gravy with superstar recipe writers Kenji Lopez-Alt and Deb Perlman. And we dive into Indian-inspired desserts. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station. Made possible by listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.